Station 5. Heresy in 18th century Lucerne. Academic scholarship fundamentally depends on being able to develop freely, without religious shackles or state restrictions. Universities depend on a social environment that allows critical, unprejudiced, and innovative thinking. In Catholic Lucerne, in the middle of the 18th century, when the Enlightenment was already flourishing elsewhere in Europe, these preconditions did not exist at all. Nothing illustrates the prevalent narrow-mindedness better than an awful incident that happened here in 1747. At noon, on the 27th of May, an execution train stopped at the wine market. At the fish bank, the death sentence against the 48-year-old so-called heretic Jakob Schmiedling was read out, in front of a gaping crowd. The smallholder, who had been debilitated by long weeks of imprisonment and torture, was accused by the council of the most serious of crimes against the state and the church. His crimes were apostasy from the Catholic faith, disseminating highly harmful and damnable teachings, importing and distributing unlawful writings, participating in foreign reformed religious services, corresponding with other faith groups, disturbing peace and order, enticing the people to rebellion, holding prohibited meetings, and endangering the salvation of his compatriot souls. That very same day, Jakob Schmiedling, convicted of heresy, died a cruel death at the Lucerne execution site outside the city walls. Tied to a stake, the executioner strangled him with a rope before handing Schmiedling's lifeless body along with the contested writings to a burning pyre. Even Schmiedling's place of residence, the Zulzikhof, located above Wartenstein in Entlebuch, was burnt down and a pillar of shame erected on the site. 3 weeks after the execution, the authorities renewed the ban on the buying, selling and reading of the Bible in German. What kind of storm had now been unleashed? Jakob Schmiedling's only offense was that he wanted to worship his God in his own way. Born in 1699 to poor Catholic peasants, the miner never attended school. Nevertheless, he taught himself to read and enjoyed reading independently throughout his life. A circle of like-minded people formed around him, people who sympathized with Pietism, a Protestant reform movement. They prayed together, read, and discussed the Bible and other religious writings. According to the legal understanding at the time, these private prayer meetings constituted serious violations against the state and the church. Possession by itself, let alone reading Lutheran writings, was strictly prohibited in the surroundings of Catholic Switzerland. At that time, a special episcopal permit was needed to even read the Holy Scriptures in the national language. After the bloodily crushed peasant rebellion of 1653, secret meetings were also suspected of preparing conspiracies against the godly order. The Pietist circle was first exposed in 1739, but the authorities let clemency hold sway over the rule. This strengthened Schmiedling and his friends in their convictions, and probably made them a little careless. The gatherings did not go unnoticed. In November 1746, for the second time, an overzealous surgeon denounced Jakob Schmiedling to the Lucerne authorities as the main ringleader. In doing so, he put in motion a machinery that not only ended with Schmiedling's execution, but which also saw 73 people permanently exiled and 3 sent to the galleys. Only days later, the canon of St. Ludegard presented the high government with a silver portrait of St. Francis Xavier, a portrait which was transferred to the court church with the active participation of state and church dignitaries as well as citizens. With this, Lucerne thanked the patron of the city and state for having interceded with God and for illuminating, directing, and blessing the authorities in destroying the faithless heretics. Thereby, the last word was not yet spoken, as the distance to the last Lucerne heretical trial shows. While Schmiedling himself was not aware of it, one can, indeed must, see him as a champion of the freedom of conscience, as well as an advocate for independent reading, a prerequisite of all academic scholarship.